Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Couple days since we've seen the debut of Le'Veon Bell with the Kansas City Chiefs, yet another option for them as they do all these misdirection plays and as they try to run different guys around in the backfield. And then, of course, they want to keep defenses off balance, never knowing where Patrick Mahomes might go or what he might do with that football. And even as the Chiefs have added Le'Veon Bell, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hoping that Antonio Brown will join them soon, going through the various protocols for COVID-19 to make sure that he can join the team. For the Buccaneers, I kind of wonder the same thing that people wondered about the Chiefs, which is, how do you keep all these offensive options happy? How do you keep all these different guys happy when you think about Chris Godwin and Mike Evans? And you also, I know that O.J. Howard is on IR, but you've also got Gronk, who, because of Howard being injured, has started to get more attention at the tight end position. How about Cameron Brate, who's also another tight end option? Then you think about Ronald Jones, their top running back, Leonard Fournette, that they work into the mix as well. We've seen Scotty Miller really raise his level of play with Tom Brady as his quarterback. I mean, there's just so many different guys that you have. And as much as I wonder how Antonio Brown fits in, as I'm writing my CBS Sports Minute about Cleveland needing as many offensive options as possible, so not better without Odell Beckham Jr., the same can be said of all of these teams. Now, you may not have all of them happy all of the time, but if you're winning, that generally tends to make people happy anyway. So it keeps the locker room happy. And then if you're the dummy, sorry, if you're the guy who is pouting because you're not getting as much attention, you're not getting as many targets, and your team is winning, you look like the selfish one. And so generally, when teams are winning, you don't have guys complaining as much, at least not out loud, about the fact that they aren't getting as much time or as many reps. So as long as the Bucs are winning, I wouldn't anticipate any kind of a problem. Though it was interesting to hear from Bruce Arians about adding Antonio Brown and believing that AB has matured, at least what he can see. And in the conversations they've had with Antonio Brown, that he's a different guy than he was when the Patriots booted him, essentially, because of how he was going after Bob Kraft and some of his off-the-field issues that he didn't tell them about. He served his 8-game suspension, or he will have. He's got one more week to go. And a lot of the talk is about whether or not Brady is playing GM and is the one who, similar to Gronk, wanted Antonio Brown enough that he got involved with the personnel.
Everybody wants to say that Tom picked him. Tom didn't have anything to do with it. This was something Jason and I have been talking for a couple of weeks, ever since the injuries to our other guys. And when the time was right, would we see if we could pull the trigger and fit it into what we want to get done? And we'll see. I mean, we have nothing. If Antonio does what I think he's going to do, he's going to be fine.
Well, There's certainly speculation there, and there's got to be this period where he gets acclimated. I mean, he can only do so much while he's suspended. He's not supposed to have any contact with the team in terms of preparing, in terms of playbook, in terms of watching tape, yada, yada, yada. And so he's going to need a crash course. Is he a good receiver? Sure, at least he was the last time we saw him. The last time we saw him, he was dealing with frozen feet and a helmet that he didn't like. But before that, before he skipped out on the Pittsburgh Steelers, week 17 of, would that have been 18? I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen Antonio Brown, other than his brief stint with the Patriots. So I hope he's still a good receiver, but it's been a long time away. Tom Brady is always a guest on Monday Night Football pregame and then halftime with Jim Gray, his buddy. And of course, Jim asked him about adding AB.
Certainly, I'm happy for Antonio to get an opportunity to resume his career. And he's put a lot of time and energy into working on a lot of things in his life. And I know he's excited to play football. So everyone's going to earn a role on our team. And I know that's his mindset too. And we'll see how things come together as we get into our game planning and we get into the second half of our season when he's available.
The Buccaneers are looking better and better. They are one of those teams where you can see that the steady practice and reps and time together has really benefited them. You know, a lot of veterans on that team, both offense and defense. And there are a lot of guys who are maybe still adjusting to Bruce Arians' system from a year ago. But it's working. And the more time they play together, the more time they spend together, you can tell the more rhythm and the more cohesion, just the teamwork, the chemistry is evident to this point. They are a contender in the NFC. They've turned themselves into a contender in the NFC. But man, that conference is crowded. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner. It's fully available on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. And coming up in 30 minutes, we'll do a little more of the QB news, if you will. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Todd has been waiting patiently in Tampa. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, great talking to you. You know, I heard your interview with Kurt Warner, and let me get my bucks, and then I'll go baseball real quick. But, you know, Tom Brady's throwing darts out here. Tom Brady's throwing strikes to guys in our offensive line. The coaching staff has learned, just keep Tom Brady upright, okay, and he's throwing strikes.
Oh, gosh, that's the game plan with Tom Brady since he was first in the league. When he doesn't get hit, he's lethal. And if I'm not mistaken, the Raiders only logged one hit on Tom Brady. No sacks, one hit. They had zero pass rush, and he can stand back there and pick you apart.
Yes, but it's our coaching staff, you know, finally has said, hey, so, you know, and they made it a point of emphasis, you know, that Brady, but Brady spread the ball around. I believe Antonio coming in gives us a shot here. It's 120 degrees on the field, and we need all the receivers we can get. Yes, you know, Mike Evans is our go-to guy, and you know, when the money's on the table, I still want to throw it to Mike Evans no matter what. But Brady knows where to go with the football. Let me just transfer over to my Rays, fellas, and talk to the team for a minute. This is it. Okay, this is it. I hope you guys play in the break. I hope your man can play the 6:20 call in the ninth inning with Phillips coming through there, because that was electric. I mean, I've been watching baseball all my life and, you know, played and, you know, just unbelievable ninth inning. But let me say this, Snell, throw strikes, trust your defense, okay? And fellas, if I'm on third base and nobody's out and I'm the leading hitter, I'll lay a bunt down to score that run, okay? I will do whatever. I'd rather, you know, Kurt Warner in his interviews, you know, when the guy said, Kevin said, it's dire. Let me say something. Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer and got a ring, okay? This team right here, the Rays, they're better. They're better than the Dodgers. I'm going to say something. It's true anyway. Our manager doesn't have the killer instinct. He doesn't have it. You're born with it. Tom Brady has it. I have it, okay? I'd rather die than lose, okay? And nobody
That's
wants
drastic.
To talk to a loser. It's just the way it is.
Just because you lose a game or you get to a World Series and don't win does not make you a loser.
No, because we're a better team than that. We had a guy on third base against Kershaw, and the manager should have taken Blasno out with 2-0. He should have taken him out because he didn't have it. Okay, if you're the manager and I'm your ace, I'm your Johnson, and I don't have it in the first inning, you got to come get me. Okay, because you owe it to the other 30 guys on the team who are busting their butt to win the game. Okay, this game tomorrow is going to be 2-1, 3-2, or something like that. You cannot let me in if I'm getting rocked in the first inning. That's a manager's decision right there. I just want to say, fellas, do whatever it takes to win. Play team baseball, move the runner over, a sack fly, whatever it takes, because you're better than them. Get the W, let's get crowned. God bless you, Amy. Peace.
All right, Todd, good to talk to you. I mean, you can debate for the next 30 years, if you like, which team is better, but it only matters which team has the ring. The ring is the bling is the thing. So the debate about who's better ultimately falls on deaf ears if you don't have the ring. You got to be able to perform in the clutch, which is why I understand analytics, but I always debate. Analytics cannot measure heart, desire. They cannot measure your ability to rise to the occasion. They can only give you situational numbers. They don't also factor into the equation the pressure that you feel on a World Series stage or experience. There's no way to measure experience either. And so I'm excited to see what happens in game number 6 on Tuesday. I hope we get a game number 7 just because I'm a shill when it comes to game 7s. What's better than a game 7 for a World Series? And haven't we had that the last last year we had a game 7, and then in 2017. So we didn't get it in 18. That was Red Sox Dodgers. Was it over in 5-6? I don't even remember. But in 17, we had an epic World Series. We did, even though the Astros, they were cheating with the trash can banging, and it's now tainted. It was still an incredible series in the moment. I'll never forget Game 5 that went hours and hours and extra innings. It was phenomenal. And, of course, last year with the Nationals topping the Astros in Houston, that was also an incredible series, the way that we had the ebbs and the flows, the pitching, just awesome. And for the Nationals to win their first ever World Series title was also really sweet. And so I'm looking forward to whatever we get on Tuesday. I'll be happy if we get a game 7, but I'll also be happy for either one of these franchises to win. The Rays have never had a World Series title in their history, and I love the first. I love the fresh blood. I think it's so cool. These are some of the best storylines in sports when a franchise finally breaks through. But also the Dodgers. I mean, there's a lot of homegrown talent. Yes, they do have guys that they've paid, like a Mookie Betts, who they traded for, but didn't trade much. I mean, that's partly on the Red Sox, too. And they gave him a massive contract. They've got guys that they brought in from other places. But they've also got players who've resurrected their careers, who are essentially cast-offs. Justin Turner, he got cast off from other franchises. The New York Mets, was that his last stop before the Dodgers? I mean, the Dodgers bring him on board. They work with him on his hitting. And now he's this world-class, not just third baseman, but world-class slugger and potentially a World Series MVP. But the Mets didn't want him. Dave, do you remember when the Mets had Justin Turner? I remember he used to be the punchline to a bunch of jokes. But the Dodgers took him and worked with him and changed his swing and his mechanics, and look at him now.
I do remember that. I think that was the disease of being a Met in the Mets organization. Unfortunately, it's the only word that I could think of, because it's another player, another example that left town and then magically turned into a 300 hitter who could hit 20 home runs every year. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn when he was in a Mets uniform. So,
but they did. I mean, they've talked about it, how they've worked with him. And I mean, credit Justin, because he's put in the work. But the man is, he's not young. I mean, we're talking about mid-30s hitter, and yet he has become a world-class option and a dangerous hitter. And a lot of it's been because they worked with him on his swing and because they saw the potential in him. And I think that's phenomenal. I mean, the Dodgers, yeah, they spend a lot of money, but they've also got a bunch of homegrown talent, guys that came up through their own system, like Cody Bellinger, like Corey Seager. When you think about the various options, young options they've got, that they got in the minor league system. And then the pitching staff, too. I mean, what they're doing with the pitching staff is pretty incredible, considering they have essentially two starters. I mean, that's where they are right now. But Walker Buehler is a guy that has come up with them. So I like the fact that they've got this really eclectic mix of players, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another example of how good the organization has run. I mean, yes, they spend money, but from top down, I mean, guys fill in their roles and they're taught how to play baseball. And he's in a deep lineup where he, you know, and other guys have protections, and he's not the only guy out there who's expected to do everything.
You know who else is the guy that was kind of cast off of? Max Muncy, and another guy that has resurrected his career. Younger than Justin, I believe, but still a guy who is having the best years of his career with the Dodgers, where they worked with him and they helped him develop his swing. But he was kind of headed for baseball mortality, kind of going to be on the shelf or on the back burner, and found a new home in Los Angeles. So they don't just buy a title. Yeah, they spend a lot of money, but they also know how to evaluate and work with their talent, which to me is really impressive.
Oh, Muncy's a perfect example. I mean, that power surge last year came out of absolutely nowhere. And it's just another prime example of this organization. Yes, they haven't won the World Series in so many years, and we know it's been a long time. But if this is the year, the reason is that they have, and they've talked about it. The players have talked about the depth within the organization. And then you add Mookie Betts to that on top of everything. It's right. Like, it's almost not even fair.
Well, and that was his choice too. I mean, he could have played the free agent field, but also a credit to the organization that he didn't want to go anywhere else. Even before playing a game with the Dodgers, he chose to stay in Los Angeles and take the deal.
And that's another example of what we're talking about. Guys want to play there, want to put on that uniform and not to keep beating up the Mets. But how many guys want to stay in town here? I mean, we're in the city.
David Wright
did. We see it. And David Wright was great. And unfortunately, the injuries got to him. But how many guys really want to be the face of a franchise like that, where it's like there's no support system for that guy? And yeah, Justin Turner, exactly. Just kind of cast aside because he wasn't producing here, and then he lands in L.A., and look at him now.
Muncy is younger. He's 29. He was cast off from Oakland, so that was where his numbers were down. In fact, his batting average was .206 and then .186 his 2 years in Oakland. And then he gets to Los Angeles. They start to work with him, .263, .251. Now, it was down in 2020, but as you point to the power surge, his first 2 years, so get this, his first 2 years in Los Angeles, 79 RBI and then 98 RBI with, if you look at the home runs, 35 each year. I mean, it's because they work with him and because they could see his potential. So I love those stories. These are redemption stories, not to mention the guys who've been there for a long time, like Clayton Kershaw, who has been much criticized for his inability to win in the postseason. And look, he's got 2 wins in the World Series. So on either side, there are great stories, and I'm excited. Regardless of how this goes, I think each one of these franchises is very deserving. So we'll see how it plays out. That's coming up Tuesday night and then maybe Wednesday night. All right, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Your candidates for TD of the Week are straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the Week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Kansas City Chiefs.
This kick will be a return. This is Pringle, former K-State star, on a right return across the 40-yard line. He's up to the near side at the 45, pushes by the wall. 40, 30, 20. 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City, Byron Pringle. And the K-State fans that are Chiefs fans can rejoice for a second straight day.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Jeff Wilson Jr. runs around the outside, and he dives in the end zone for his third rushing touchdown of the game. Let me hear you. Touchdown, San Francisco!
The Cleveland Browns.
And here we go. They are second down and 10 at the 24-yard line. Out they come. Shotgun. Kareem Hunt
in the backfield. Two receivers left, one right. Mayfield back to pass. Looks, going towards the end zone, and it's caught by Donovan Peoples-Jones. Touchdown! He got it! He got it! The rookie from Michigan got it with 11 seconds left to go!
A back shoulder throw. Unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Right corner in the end zone. Baker Mayfield to Donovan Peoples-Jones.
The Detroit Lions.
From the Falcon 11-yard line, down by six. Final play of the game. Stafford empty out of the gun. He's got it back. Looks. Pumps one. Steps up. Looks. Throws. End zone.
Yes!
Carr! Touchdown,
yes!
Detroit Lions! T.J. Hockenson!
Yes!
They did it! They've tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby! How big is that?
Yes!
How big is that?
I love that call, and I love the Jim Donovan call of the Browns touchdown with 11 seconds to go. That is Dan Miller on the Lions Radio Network. Maybe the biggest moment in Lions franchise history for the last 5 years. Okay, for the last 5 years, maybe even longer. Just incredible moment. And I actually tweeted Dan Miller on Monday and told him he killed it, that the call was delicious. And he wrote back and said thank you, that it was always more fun when they win on a Sunday. Before that, Jim Donovan on the Browns Radio Network. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the sixth round draft pick out of Michigan, finally getting his opportunity. And carpe diem, seize the day, baby. Before that, Jeff Wilson Jr., who didn't have 112 yards all of last season, has a career high in yards and three touchdowns as the Niners pound the Patriots in New England. Greg Papa, Tim Ryan on the call. And our first one, I love Pringles, Byron Pringle, 102 yards. Can't go much farther than that with a touchdown. It was special teams, a kick return with Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network as Kansas City gets back on the winning track after beating Denver in the snow. How about that? Byron Pringle goes 102 yards in the snow. So please vote for TD of the week. And actually, now we've got two polls that are kind of crossing in the night, like ships crossing in the night. Our Monday MVP poll is still up, and it also features Cleveland and San Francisco. Some of you are asking me, why no Matt Stafford for Monday MVP? Well, here's your chance to vote if you're a Detroit Lions fan, and you know who you are. I hear from you often. So on our social media sites, either one, Facebook page, both the Monday MVP poll as well as now our TD of the week option is available. And then on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, here I'm retweeting right now, A-Law Radio. And we won't reveal until we get to tomorrow's show. Of course, we'll give you the 24 hours to vote. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line, it's sponsored by Geico. Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. So switch to Geico and save and sleep peacefully when our show is over, of course. Dan Miller actually sat down and did an interview, virtually, of course, with Detroit quarterback Matthew Stafford on Fox 2, which is the channel he works for in the Motor City. And I just thought this was so much fun. I know we're going to do QB news next segment, but this will whet your appetite a little bit. Stafford talking about the end of the game. Now, remember, Todd Gurley, he tried to stop short of the goal line for the Falcons because there was still time left on the clock, and he didn't want to give the ball back to the Lions. They didn't want to give the ball back to the Lions with enough time for Stafford to be able to drive the team up and down the field. So he tries to stop short and instead falls in. His momentum carries him across the goal line, which then gives the ball back to the Lions offense with a minute to go. And so that whole sequence was kind of crazy for the Lions for sure, but also for the Falcons.
I felt like we were playing pretty good. We just didn't have a lot of points to show for it. Our defense played great. But when they got that first down, with under 2 minutes left, I figured they would just kneel on it a couple times and we would have no shot at it. And obviously our defense did a great job, let Gurley score and then gave us a chance. And once he scored, I had a good feeling. I don't know why, but I just did. And we were able to execute well enough to go down and win, but it was back and forth crazy. Clean game, just crazy down to the wire though.
I like how he says our defense let Todd Gurley score. Gurley didn't want to score, but he's right. The Lions didn't stop him either. So that's Matthew Stafford with Dan Miller on Fox 2 in Detroit. Also, this idea about it still hanging in the balance with a minute to go. I mean, these are the most exciting moments that we see on the football field. But for a while there, it looked like Atlanta had this.
I grabbed my helmet. I figured the game was over from my standpoint. And then when he scored, I was pumped. You know, I had a chance at least. I know we're down, but at least I had a chance to go out there and make a difference in the game. And our guys did an awesome job of executing. Every time we caught a ball, we just handed it to the center, who handed it to the official. We spiked it. You know, our operation was really clean, and that's what gave us a chance at the end.
You may remember, for those of you who are Falcons and Lions fans, it's probably permanently imprinted on your brain, but Detroit missed a field goal that would have given the lead to the Lions. It would have been, at that point, 16-14. But because Detroit misses the field goal, the ball goes back to the Falcons, right? So what happens? The defense takes advantage of, well, they force a fumble, a strip sack and a fumble with Matt Ryan, and then the Lions are able to kick a field goal. So they get a little bit of redemption there with their special teams, right? So they go ahead on a field goal on the second try. But as Matt Stafford points out, Atlanta had the ball. They get a first down. He thinks, okay, well, they're just going to run out the clock. Au contraire, they ended up scoring. Gurley falls into the end zone, and it leaves a minute on the clock. And also, if you were watching the game, you may remember they had one particular situation, that last one there, where so they're trying to spike it to stop the clock because they don't have any timeouts left. So there was one spike where they weren't sure they were going to get it down in time. It got all kinds of crazy in that backfield.
And as I spike it, I kind of look down. And I see Kerryon on the ground next to me, and I'm like, we can't even keep our feet to try and spike it to win the game? What happened? And he got run over. So, and then it was just a bunch of rules that people smarter than me can figure out. All I know is that had a chance to spike it, stop the clock, and then one last play, and it worked out.
Amazing. It worked out. And I've already voted for the Dan Miller call. I love the Jim Donovan call for sure. And I think that there are so many talented announcers in the NFL. Anytime we can get a Kevin Harlan call, it's phenomenal. Mitch Holtis is great, of course. But that Dan Miller call with no time on the clock, even the extra point was exciting. Because at that juncture, it's tied with no time on the clock, and they still have to kick an extra point to win the game. So when you know that wins are hard to come by, you celebrate them. And I'm excited for Matthew Stafford, for Matt Patricia. If you haven't seen the celebration in the wake of that Hawkinson touchdown grab, you've got to see it. I mean, it's almost like they won the Super Bowl. Now they're at 3-3, and while they're still a long shot in the NFC North, they've got the three wins. They're two behind the pace being set by the Packers and
48-yard extra point.
Nutso in the end. It was like total chaos, and yet those are the games that are the most fun, the fantastic finishes that leave you breathless. So vote for not just Monday MVP, but also vote for our TD of the week. I wish that your host could pick the one that she wanted, but we put it out for a vote so that you can decide. I just think that was a pretty amazing finish for Dan Miller and the Lions. Sorry, Falcons fans. And then Dan talking to Matthew Stafford on Fox 2 in Detroit. We've got more QB news and your calls coming up, 855-212-4227. It's a disaster in Dallas, where they may be starting a rookie quarterback coming up in week number 8. We'll give you the latest straight ahead.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Payne, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake, looking, floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And
with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun has time, guns it down the middle, and he's going to score.
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown.
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
This has nothing to do with any quarterback anywhere, but have you noticed all of a sudden there are hand sanitizer machines that have popped up all over the floor? We had none for 10 months of a pandemic, and now all of a sudden they're every 6 yards. Well, that's helpful. Thank you. Also, some weird step at the bottom of the bathroom door that does not work. So you're supposed to be able to step, like pull the door towards you instead of touching the door, but the door latches. So how is that helpful? You still have to push down the handle before the foot step will actually work.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No one apparently tried that ahead of time. So cool. Back to quarterbacks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We have now 7 full weeks of NFL football in da books, baby. And da Bears suffer a pretty lopsided loss against the Rams at SoFi Stadium. For Jared Goff, a couple of touchdowns, 3 for 4 in the red zone, and a nice balance with the run game, 161 rushing yards. Whereas for Nick Foles and the Bears offense, it was abysmal. Fewer than 50 rushing yards, 4 sacks, a couple interceptions. So really, a tale of two quarterbacks.
That defense is tough, and we had to do some different things for them and make sure we were on our Q's and T's all night, and I thought we ran the ball really well, and then I thought in the pass game we did a good job after the catch, you know, making plays after the catch. There was a couple careless errors by me that got away with, but that's the game. I thought, you know, we were able to distribute the ball pretty well and make some plays.
It's not easy. You come to your locker, you hurt for your teammates, you hurt that you weren't able to make enough plays, that we lost, but ultimately it does, you know, allow you to grow because it ultimately sucks, but you have to learn how to get through it. So that's the stage we're at as a team. We've been fortunate to come out back in some games, and you know, this was not one of them.
Here's the interesting thing. Those two teams have exactly the same record at 5-2, and yet listening to Jared Goff and the Nick Foles postgame, you would have thought that one of them was bottom of the barrel, gum on the bottom of my shoe, where the other one was was closing in on some kind of a Super Bowl win. So momentum is fleeting in sports and certainly fleeting in the NFL. This is week 7 for the Rams and the Bears. Identical 5-2 records. Moving on now to the New England Patriots, who are below 500. In fact, they're 2-4 for the first time in 20 years. And Cam Newton was replaced in the game by Jarrett Stidham in the fourth quarter of their loss to the San Francisco 49ers. I feel like, doesn't even do it justice. But Bill Belichick wants you to know that he is not making a change at quarterback.
He's our best player there. And so, you know, again, There are other problems offensively. There are things that we need to do, you know, do better, and that's what we're going to work on. I think we have our best players out there. We've just got to find a way to be more productive.
We just have to keep pressing, plugging along, and you know, there's no motivating speech. There's nothing that needs to be done besides, you know, accept the challenge and accept where we are and just get better from it.
Bill Belichick is not making a change at quarterback because he believes Cam Newton is the best option. First, you hear Coach Belichick on WEEI, our Boston affiliate, making his weekly appearance. And then you hear the voice of Cam Newton, who went on to say that he is embarrassed by the way that he has played and that he should be in fear of losing his job. So how do you fix it? Well, there were 4 total interceptions between he and Stidham on Sunday. And he says that you look at the giveaways and therein is a major hurdle.
The keys to win has always been protect the football. And here I am, you know, I have yet, or we as an offense have yet to play a turnover-free game. That is the key to win. And when it happens, you're saying to yourself, oh my God, like, I know I'm not supposed to be throwing interceptions left and right. I know fumbles are not supposed to be falling, but it keeps happening.
You hear the guys on WEEI laughing in the background. Cam Newton says, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be throwing the ball like that. And there's been a lot of talk about his mechanics and whether or not it's the injuries that have changed the way he throws the ball. I don't know that he's ever been the most accurate quarterback, but he's been so strong, so powerful for most of his career that he could kind of muscle that ball where it needed to go. Not to mention his numbers a lot of times were gaudy because he could pad them with the run and be a dual threat guy. It was ugly against the Niners. Give San Francisco all the credit for the way that they played him. But Cam Newton was, in fact, throwing balls that he shouldn't have been and throwing them to places that he shouldn't. So far this season, he has 7 total touchdowns. That's on the ground and through the air. And 7 interceptions. So he's right. Turnovers, 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 points off turnovers. Those are always the stats I look at first when I'm trying to tell the story of a game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Turnovers have absolutely been a major issue, an obstacle, a hurdle for the Dallas Cowboys. And without Dak Prescott, they are unable to overcome these deficits that they put themselves in. We see that over and over. The defense is abysmal, and you don't have a Dak Prescott who can extend plays and who can chuck the ball up and down the field to score points in bunches. So instead, they turn to Andy Dalton after Dak ankle injury, and obviously that has gone down south.
Andy Dalton's in the concussion protocol, and you know, as far as every stage and so forth, I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, but he was here today, saw the trainers and so forth, so he was not in the meetings.
Andy Dalton in concussion protocol after a nasty helmet to helmet. Unnecessary, definitely ejectable, certainly finable, maybe suspendable hit by John Bostic. And it certainly seemed to me as though he lowered his head to target Dalton as Dalton was going to the ground. If he had just remained level, he wouldn't have hit it helmet to helmet. But instead, he's essentially leading with his helmet downward to make contact with Andy Dalton. And there were a lot of people who wondered why the offensive line didn't come to Dalton's defense. Why didn't they go after Bostic? Why weren't they angry at the way that Bostic had hit their quarterback? And McCarthy was also responding to those questions on Monday.
As far as the what went on with Andy's hit, I think obviously the officiating took care of what happened and so forth, but the response, from the offensive line, I think our guys did exactly, at the starting point was, cover the football. They were all 5 of them are right there when Andy went down. But I think this whole thing, as far as how it's viewed, is a little bit of a microcosm of just kind of where we are. So you got young players in new situations. So, that's really all I got to say about that.
I thought the point that McCarthy made there at the end was really interesting because I hadn't thought about it that way, but the offensive line is now a patchwork of different guys. So Zach Martin, also in concussion protocol, unable to play this weekend. And so you've got different guys moving around, guys who've stepped up. We already knew the offensive line was kind of thrown together at the beginning of the year, and they've moved guys around. They've had different guys sub in. And so as McCarthy points out, their number one goal was to cover the football. Okay. But then the fact that they're young guys and they haven't been with Dalton for a long time or even been on the field for an extended period of time, maybe that takes away from this kind of anger that you're going after my quarterback. Now, he says it's a microcosm of where they are as a group. Is he talking about chemistry or the lack thereof? Is he talking about the fact that they don't have a lot of cohesion? They don't work as a team. They don't work as a group. It seems to be more like a bunch of individuals out there, and they're not all kind of coming together. You don't see that synergy that's so necessary for a winning team. Maybe it's a little bit of all of that. They're a mess right now, and it seems like it's every man for himself as opposed to every man for the good of the Dallas Cowboys. And that needs to change, and that's certainly on the coaches, but it's also on the veteran players in the locker room to get everybody together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Certainly when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers began their journey with Tom Brady as their quarterback, it wasn't optimal. He was trying to hold practices at high schools and parks, and he's got a lot of weapons, but it's only now that we're really seeing the potential of what this group can be.
I think we're all still growing and maturing in the offense too, and we're still incorporating new players. This is only Mike Evans' second year in this offense, and Chris Godwin's second year in this offense, and those guys are as good as anybody in the NFL, but it's still taking time for us to really come together. And I think each week we're learning a little bit more. But when I'm back there at quarterback, you know, I'm trying to read the coverage, and then the coverage really dictates where the ball goes.
He had 9 different receivers who caught passes on Sunday. And while the Raiders had 0 pass rush, it made it a lot easier for Tom Brady to operate. That's the type of system that he's used to. He's used to having a bunch of different options, reading the defense, seeing what they're doing, getting rid of it quickly, not getting hit, of course, but keeping defenses off balance by moving the ball around. And with the number of options he has in Tampa, well, you're starting to see that he's doing the same thing with the Buccaneers. Is he throwing the ball downfield? Yes, maybe more than he did with the New England Patriots, depending on who they had as their receiver. You know, it was a revolving door for the Patriots, and last year was a brutal set in terms of their receivers. I mean, really the only consistent guy that he had was Julian Edelman. And you can see the disconnect between Edelman and Cam Newton because it's completely new for both of them. So there's just a lot of changes, and changing when you're in the midst of a pandemic and for the Patriots who didn't have a couple weeks of practice. I mean, it's just, you can see the teams that have had more time together now that have had the opportunity to work together, to get reps together, and that have, again, the veteran leadership is so important because you've got guys who understand what it means to be a professional football player who can set a tone for a locker room. And we know Brady's been doing that for years, but also Bruce Arians. I mean, we're talking about a coach that has been a lot of places, knows how to communicate, doesn't pull punches, doesn't BS, just gets right to work, and they follow his lead in Tampa. So they're definitely rounding into a contender. Coming up next, we'll get back to Monday Night Football. We'll get you set for World Series Game 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.